Welcome to the Voices of the University podcast series, marking the 50th anniversary of the University of Warwick. Commissioned by the Institute of Advanced Study, the Voices of the University collection comprises of over 200 interviews with current and former staff, students and local residents, and reveals the history of the University of Warwick through their voices. In the first episode of our series, IAS Research Fellow Grace Huxford explores the opening of the university in 1965.
In 1961, Prime Minister Harold Macmillan commissioned Lord Lionel Robbins, a famous economist, to produce a report on the state of higher education in the United Kingdom. The recommendation of the Robbins Report, 1963, was that university places
should be available to all who are qualified by ability and attainment to pursue them. We do not believe that modern societies can achieve their aims of economic growth and higher cultural standards without making the most of the talents of their citizens.
During the 1960s, seven new utopian universities were built at Sussex, York, Kent, Essex, East Anglia, Lancaster, and Warwick. These universities were alternatively known as the plate glass universities due to their distinctive architecture, or even the Shakespearean universities, as all of them, apart from East Anglia, had been characters in Shakespeare's plays. Since the Second World War, there had been intense discussion about establishing a new university in the Coventry area. Eventually, it was decided that it would be built on the countryside on the Coventry-Warwickshire border. Local resident Michael Coker describes his early experiences on the farmland surrounding Coventry.
During the war, I lived at Tossil Farm and lived in this area. The two farms, it was Tossil Farm and Gibbet Hill Farm. And across the road, of course, was Edgar's Farm, all of which are underneath the university now, I think. So for my original recollection of the university site is as farmland. And we came to live here as a result of the bombing of Coventry.
Coventry City Council and Warwickshire County Council gave equal amounts of land for the new university. Warwickshire County Council pushed for the name the University of Warwick, and after a series of discussions, this name was agreed upon. Former student of Canley College of Education, now Westwood, Juliet Amory, describes other possible names for the new university.
The University of Warwick is not the first name that the establishment was going to have. I do know the history to the name, and it probably has caused Warwick University quite a few problems. But I think as a brand, it couldn't have a better name, because it was actually going to be called the University of Mid Warwickshire at one stage, which was a bit of a mouthful and wouldn't have been the same stature that Warwick deserves.
The new University of Warwick was established by Royal Charter in 1965, and it opened its doors to undergraduate students in October 1965. The first buildings were located on the east site, now Gibbet Hill, and were not quite finished in 1965. Administrator Jean Norman describes the early days of the university campus.
We had a few months, as I say, at 108 Canwith Road. Then we moved up. We had a hut. There were lots of huts on what's called east site, and we were in a hut. And that was a bit like a sea of mud. With these huts, and we had wooden planks to walk along. And they actually did open a canteen. One of the huts became a canteen, because prior to that, there were no eating facilities. And we used to go to the Phantom Coach, where there was a room set aside there for the university, and those who wanted to have a lunch, we would all pile into whoever got a car and go down there. And there was a sort of set, I think pretty mediocre, but a set lunch there. So everybody from the top professors down to whoever, if you wanted a lunch, that was where you went to dine.
Like other universities built at the time, the architecture of the new University of Warwick was in many ways distinctive. Arthur Lyons, a master's student at the time, recalls the buildings in 1965.
We were fascinated by what was going on down the road on the main campus site, certainly. And it was interesting to see the main university library being built at that time. We certainly watched that from time to time. And then, of course, were interested when all of the white tiles that were on the external facade of that building started falling off. Bearing in mind the vintage, the 1960s, it was certainly trendy architecture to have white tile buildings, and even the Gibbet Hill campus that we were on was clad in shiny white tiles, if I remember rightly. So it was an interesting time architecturally, yes, certainly. But we were certainly surprised that it started falling down so quickly.
The university also lacked some facilities when it first opened. Alan Phillips, an undergraduate student in 1965, describes sporting facilities at Warwick.
The joke always was that, you know, what was the most popular sport at Warwick in those days? The joke was that it was tiddlywinks, you know, that there weren't any sports facilities. Eventually, I remember I joined the lacrosse team mainly because they had a pitch, because they could use a farmer's field, which sometimes was used for cows, because you didn't need that much of a surface to have a, you know, like hockey, you would need to have a smooth surface for it. And the university really had no sports facilities at the beginning. They were eventually developed over the next 2 or 3 years. But a lot of it was a building site, which, I mean, added to the excitement. Everything was going on, it was very vital, and it had a real feeling of energy. But it was a very small university. You know, you tended to know most people, or you could know most people, or people who, you know, were characters around. I mean, just, you know, quite a contrast from the size of the university now.
Excitement pervaded the new university. Ron Lockhart, a mathematics undergraduate, described the feeling in 1965.
I remember saying, what is there here? And being told nothing, apart from mud. And I thought straight away, well, that means we've got to do everything. That means we're going to have some good fun. When we arrived in the October, there was a lot of journalists and publicity people about, and we had photographs taken for the London Illustrated News and that sort of stuff. And it was a great deal of excitement, and the first day or so we did nothing apart from pose and go around and have a welcome speech by Jack Butterworth, the VC at the time. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was basically, this university is for you to build.
In the next Voices of the University podcast, we shall trace the development of campus and the university at large. For further details, or to hear the interviews in full, please consult the Voices of the University website.